Good evening. It is March 24, 2026, 6 p.m., and I call the Wrangell Assembly to order. Tonight, the Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Assemblymember Mott.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic of which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please. Assembly members Powers.
Here.
Mock.
Here.
Audison. Dalrymple.
Here.
Howell.
Here.
DeBoard.
Here.
And Mayor Gilbert. Here. There are no ceremonial matters tonight, so we'll go to item three, persons to be heard.
Where do you sign up?
Right there.
Great timing.
Perfect.
Sign up?
Oh, okay. Okay. Did she sign up? Okay. All right. First up is Terrell and Juanita Corson.
Your name is on that one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were just signing in.
Well, that's okay. Is there anything you want to talk about? Anything bothering you?
Sorry.
Okay. All right. All right. Persons to be heard. Okay, next up then, Kathy Watkins.
I'm Kathy Watkins, and I want to apologize for what I'm going to talk about, because I thought that the reading you're reading the 184 packet pages, I thought it was on tonight's agenda, but I can explain to me it's not the 14th. I'm going to say something anyhow.
Okay.
So that's first my apology for not understanding how to read the packet. This is just a question for next, for April 14th meeting. So I don't know who would answer next month, but the two questions, it has to do with the business license change that I was reading. I don't remember what article it is. It's too many pages to me. The two questions that would be nice to be answered next month would be, does this change affect church bazaars? And maybe it's going to be addressed, I don't know, but I figured I'd ask now, so that way it can be addressed if it's not addressed. Like, you know, November that the church does, and I'm right. Does that one. So that's the question. And the second one is, which is probably already the answer is it, will it affect, how will it affect when you have next month, the community market? Those are my two questions for next month, okay?
Perfect, thank you.
We'll make sure those are answered.
I'll be here this time, we're running
to this. Okay, you're welcome anytime. Next up, Harry Hopprick. It's Charles, isn't it?
Yeah, but I go by Tony.
Okay, I've got you.
Yeah, yes.
Tony, okay.
I'll call them Tony. Dr. H. I want to address that to the same topic because I see it's a new business on the agenda here. And I'll just bring up some questions for the next time that you do bring it up. There's it looks like they're going to repeal the peddler's thing. And then also assuming that you're going to require the vendors to get a city permit. And so if you do that, I've already done the process. I had to get a state business license. Okay. Then you're going to have, and people have been saying that there's no fee for the city permit, but there is, right? $50. I thought I read on the form. So there's another $50. Then they're going to pay the sales tax on it. And then at the end of the year, they're going to have to pay the federal tax on what they make. Now, I think that's going to kill our community market. And I've heard that it's done that before in other communities. So I'd ask that you please consider that. I don't think it's fair to put the community market vendors in with. I know that you guys have been getting a lot of complaints from the local business owners who have to go through that. Those are storefront businesses that have large volume sales. They're able to order stuff from other places to stock their wares, and they sell that. Community market is different. It's just a single person making handmade things, and they don't have the volume to probably afford these kind of fees that you're going to be placing on. So I would ask that you consider that. I'm working with Jeannie at the Nolan Center. I'm trying to build our community market. I'm trying to build it into like an art fair thing for the tourists coming here. And I just got back from the Caribbean, and every port I went to, they had rows of these vendors. And there was a lot of fun walking through there. And I know our tourists would enjoy that too, especially if it's handmade stuff. And so I understand the local businesses' point of view that they have to pay these fees, but they want to place that burden on these little mom and pop community people here. Some of them are just, you know, they don't make much, you know, so give that some thought before you add things on to that. I guess that's it.
Thank you. And Donna Kuntz.
Good evening. I'm with Tony. The thing is, years and years and years and years, 100 years ago, when I was a young person, we went through this once before. And the only ones that the city thought that should be tax-free was churches, bazaars, once a year. And so Don House was our mayor, and I came to a meeting and I asked him, I said, Don, I said, if you carved like Joe did, I said, and you just carved whistles, and you had to pay money to make that whistle, gas to get the wood to get that whistle, go down to Otterson's and buy the string and the rubber bands to make that whistle. I said, you've got money going out that's helping your community in the first place. This is wrong. And so he called a special meeting and he said, forevermore, I was at that meeting, and I'm 83 years old, and I was at that meeting, and he said, forevermore, sales that are considered a bazaar or a craft sale. Now, if you load it as something else, you pay. But if it's a craft sale or a bazaar or what do you call that when you donate for
like a jumble sale or
rummage sale. Those shall not be taxed, forced to get a license forevermore. And I stood up, was in the audience, and we had a different city hall. And I stood up and I said, and you're stating forevermore. And I pointed to the secretary for her to write that. So if you could go back, way back to the 50s and 60s and 70s and find it, you'll see that he did say that. That they should not be taxed or fined or forced to get a permit. And
thanks.
I have to agree with Tony and everything that he said. And I understand that it would be a different story, but we paid taxes on those supplies that we buy in town. That's our support to our community. We spend our money. Okay, I did the bazaar. I made a $219. Wow. Anyway, I made $219. I had to pay $20 for my two tables that came out of there. And I didn't have any tax to pay, but that mealy little tax, I just don't feel is warrants that vendors that are making their crafts, they buy their supplies, or they go cut their supplies, or they go fish for the supplies, or whatever they do, they pay for all that to do that, and they buy the supplies in order to make a craft that they're good at, whether it's smoking fish or carving fish hooks or whatever, crocheting baby blankets, I don't care what it is, it's their craft. And they've already bought that, they've already paid their taxes on that. And I think this is unjust for the city to say, okay, now you're gonna have to get a
permit, you're going to have to get a state permit, you're going to have to get a city permit, you're going to have to fill out these forms, and that's not right.
Thank you very much. We'll take all that into consideration.
Yes, please look and find that.
Thank you.
It should be there.
All right. Any other? It's okay. Moving right along, amendments to the agenda. We have one amendment, one addition.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Mayor. So before you guys, we have a non-disclosure agreement that we received from Ada today, and that's to talk about financing terms. And so I'd like to get that approved. I talked with the clerk today, and if we don't have any budget appropriations being made, or if there's not a resolution or ordinance for consideration, we can actually throw this on the agenda tonight. So I would request that be added as item 13F on the agenda under new business.
Any objection from the assembly? Seeing none, we'll do that. Any other amendments to the agenda? All right. Conflict of interest. Does any assembly member have any conflict on any item? All right, moving right along. Consent agenda.
Move to approve consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Motion by Powell, second by Mock. Any discussion? Okay, poll vote, please.
Assemblymember Mock?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Borough Manager's Report.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. So I started doing something new. I published kind of the intro to my report in the newspaper. So that'll be every meeting. We'll have kind of the intro to the manager's report. And there's a QR code you can scan for the full report. I think there's a lot of good information. So if anybody wants to understand what's happening across the borough for every 2-week period or a month in this case, it's a great document to reference. I'm simply just going to ask the assembly if you have any questions on it tonight, because there's a lot in there. And if there's any points of discussion you'd like me to go over, I'm happy to talk about them.
Assembly member Powers.
Thanks. Anything new that we haven't been going over?
A lot of it's fairly new. They're just mainly updates in different categories. You know,
for the public, why don't we hit the highlights?
I tried assembly to skate through.
Yeah, let's just hit some highlights.
Okay, so we submitted our EDA grant, as you guys are well aware, on March 3rd. That's reached the technical review stage, and it's wrapping up. It'll go to the internal review committee this next week. They are allowing for additional information to be submitted, so we do have some additional support letters we've been able to garner with Ada and Structure and some of these other businesses that are coming to the table. But we did submit the three component projects: the reservoir flume, the 6-mile deep water port project, and the downtown waterfront expansion project, all for a $50 million grant opportunity. I feel very confident. It's the only municipality in the state of Alaska that applied for this pathway. And, you know, I think that the full support of the delegation, and I know rather, is behind us on this, just given we are the only municipality. We continued to move forward with JAG. We had productive kickoff design meeting last week with Pearlson to talk about our path to June 30th to get 30% design. The Coast Guard has expressed interest in actually participating in design, which is a really good feeling for us, and making sure that the specs of the site ultimately match what they require in the grand scheme of it all. But when we talk about JAG, we've done a lot of work in the last few months. We've got an MOU signed, we've got an NDA signed, we did a Coast Guard community resolution. We got a joint resolution tonight with Ketchikan. We've advocated for Sullivan's efforts. We funded design up to 30%, on and on and on. And you guys have seen my emails recently with Senator Sullivan, Senator Murkowski, briefing them. And we briefed Representative Beckage when he came to town. So a lot of great work happening. I don't think there's anything else we could be doing to make that project a reality. So the latest estimates are it's between 200 and 300 jobs now that this would be provided for JAG. And that's without a home port. So you throw a home port on top, we quickly get back to 3,000 people in this community. So pretty excited about that. On the Structure MOU side, there's a new company called Structure. Their sister company is AK Automations. They will be presenting to the assembly on April 14th. It's an hour and a half work session. I definitely invite the community to come out and learn more about Structure. They are a SCADA software development company, and they want to manufacture their PLCs, or programmable logic controllers, here in Wrangell. So they want to do a light manufacturing facility about 20,000 square feet, about the same footprint of what would be the data center site out there. So might be a good opportunity for the assembly and the public to get educated on the new company. And I'm pretty optimistic, very smart group of people. I just wrapped up the MOU draft today, so they're going through comments.
And for the public, what is a SCADA system?
So a SCADA system, it stands for Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition. And the best example I can give folks is if you log on to SEPA.org, you can see the SEPA SCADA, and what it shows is for any utility, all the different assets and deployed in real time. So it shows everything from, you know, gallons per minute of water flow to a valve being open to how many megawatts are running through a feeder and all the stuff.
Temperature, everything.
Everything you can think of.
Anything you can measure.
For a water utility, for a sewer utility, for electric utility, for mining companies, for oil, gas exploration. So the market's really huge for this stuff, and the technology is fairly underdeveloped. So this company has done something that's pretty groundbreaking, and they're overlaying their SCADA system over GIS, so you have a more comprehensive picture. So I think it's pretty state-of-the-art, and it's a huge market that they would tap into in the lower 48 as well. And it's a Juneau-based company that wants to retain Alaskan jobs. So they went from 3 employees to 26 employees over the last 6 months, really sharp, a lot of ex-Intel, Microsoft employees there that are working for them. So some brilliant minds. So I believe they're coming to town with Chad McGraw, who's been a supporter of theirs as well, because Sitka was their pilot program unveiling their new SCADA system. So yeah, everything from reservoir lake levels to storage tank levels, that type of stuff could all be seen at a screen in real time. And it's even getting to the point now where you can kind of interact with it like AMI, the metering system. You can turn valves on and off and that kind of stuff. So it's really nice to see that from a director perspective, but also for me, just you know, having a comprehensive overview of all your utilities. So a great opportunity, and it would be a huge manufacturing boost to Wrangell.
And I would encourage the assembly to go on the SEPA webpage and look at that SCADA system. It's very informative. And then GreenSpark. What's the latest on GreenSpark?
Nothing new with GreenSpark. I think that we'll ultimately bring that item before the assembly in the next couple of meetings for discussion on where that's at. Obviously, we've gotten a lot of feedback from the community on it. This could certainly be an opportunity, the structure opportunity that might be a better fit for Wrangell. So I'll let the assembly make that assessment when it comes up to the next meeting. But no further.
And GreenSpark is over in Petersburg.
They're looking at Petersburg. Yeah. I think they're working
other communities.
An NDA. Yeah. On the Alaska Marine Lines front, I'll be meeting with them down in Seattle on Monday and Tuesday this next week to talk about kind of wrap up for evaluating the alternative and getting to a final agreement. I was in discussions with Trident here locally about adapting to the change in the cargo transfer facility and working through a plan with them. So I feel like we've got everything lined out on what needs to be done. This is how we do it. So that was beneficial to map it all out. And I know that Philip is actually going to go ahead and draft a MOU on behalf of Trident. We're going to go ahead and review that for the next assembly meeting. So you know, the main goals of that, we'll be talking about how we re-jigsaw puzzle the existing plat over there. I think Trident's got how many parcels? 12, 17, somewhere in there that make up their whole plant. So it makes sense to combine that into one. They're going to require a little bit more property to have a loading dock facility constructed. There's going to be some easement discussion and how they'll be able to swing around trucks and chassis and back it up in the loading dock facility. Want to also support other economic development efforts. I know that Trident's doing Black Cotton Halibut this year. That's great to expand shoulder season production. We hope it's a big success for them, because the more product we run through Wrangell, the better it is for the community. Mm-hmm. And there's some other things. Anything I missed on that, Philip? Just nailed it, huh? Okay. On the Alaska Marine side, like I said, we'll be meeting to discuss the mill property alternative for the cargo freight transfer facility. That was a huge thing that was covered in the EDA grant. We have a SEPA board meeting here. Tomorrow we take off. I know that Assembly Member Powell, Mayor Gilbert, and our Superintendent McCullen will be attending. Kind of more of the same existing project discussions, nothing too crazy, but we'll report back to the Assembly on the April 14th meeting on the board meeting. The board did approve a $6 million new generation project here in Wrangell. For more details, I would invite the public out to a town hall on May 6th, I believe. Kim, is that right? Is that Wednesday before May 6th at the Nolan Center? And that'll be to talk.
May 6th.
And that'll be a town hall to present on the new generation project and you know, soliciting some feedback and get some good public engagement on the project. So exciting opportunity. It's $6 million of infrastructure headed Wrangell's way if it all works out. And we got some lease agreements to work through and some public engagement, some assembly engagement on it. But very exciting. They've also had McMillan come into town, which is a design engineering firm, looking at the switchyard to put in place the transformer that used to be out there to service the mill property. So as we develop this industrial subdivision, we need another transformer out there. So they committed to following through on that, and they're analyzing alternatives on what the best approach is. So they'll redesign the switchyard and that they'll go to construction on that. They've committed to that. They've also committed to upsizing the Wrangell substation transformer, which we're limited to 10 megawatts coming into the town from Taiyi. And they may put in a 16 or 20 megawatt transformer. So that would basically not restrict us from anything out of Taiyi, because currently we hit 10 megs and a little bit more. We can actually run that thing at about 115%, that transformer, but we're running our diesels to supplement after that because we can't bring in that much power off the hydro project. So lots going on from a SEPA perspective. We have various action on timber sales. You know, most excitingly, we had a meeting with Tori Hauser and I to talk about an easement that Bob and Carol had worked on back in the day, a floating easement that goes through Mental Health Trust property that's proven quite useful for the mill basin, I think is what you guys call it, which is where the most volume of the timber is on the Tongass, and that record decision that was made back in 2018, 2017. So we're working together as partners. I believe the chief of the Forest Service is coming back to town, which is kind of unusual because he's already been to town recently. To talk about this project, among others. So we have a draft Good Neighbor Authority agreement that we'll be working through. Met with Tori this last week on it, and we actually have a Microsoft Teams thing. We're going back and forth on it. So that's been exciting. A lot of other things going on at the Forest Service that we're partnering on. I'm trying to get some traction on the Chugach finally. I sent a letter to the Monique Nelson, our new forest supervisor on the Tongass. We talked about the Sea Trails programs and some other things. So excited to get some action together in our partnership. Tonight, you have a blowdown sale for approval. This is something that the borough wanted to do with Mike Allen for the last 5 years. It just never got done. So there's some spruce that's blown down adjacent to Aldertop Institute property. And if it continues to decay, it's not going to be worth anything. So we might as well take care of it. And then there's some pockets of timber that are susceptible to blowdown that we might as well take care of that weren't harvested in the original logging operation. So a small 6.24 acre sale. And then the borough entitlement lands, we do have a plan to evaluate that timber for a potential sale this summer and a request for proposals. We are going to hire a third party contractor to go ahead and appraise and cruise Earl West and Tom's Place subdivision this year, or actually in the next couple months here. He'll report back with his findings, and then we'll devise a best plan forward to how to release the sale. We certainly want to hit the sweet spot of catering to existing industry in town. But we want to know what we're working with too. So more details to come on that, but exciting opportunity to expand existing industry in town, take care of Mike Allen, but perhaps a little bit further reach as well. Talked about the Trident Seafoods MOU and the Forest Service already. We have some joint resolutions we're proposing between Ketchikan and Petersburg. So between the city of Ketchikan and Ketchikan Gateway Borough, you have that before you tonight. That's to declare ourselves or seek declaration for a maritime prosperity zone designation. I would liken that to opportunity zones, if the assembly is familiar with that, except for the marine industry. This is in correspondence to the Maritime Action Plan that was released just recently, and in correspondence also to the executive order last April on restoring America's maritime dominance. So this is right in line with what we're trying to achieve with JAG. We realize that there's strength in a partnership with Ketchikan to get the home ports, to get the maintenance facilities together. So we've deemed ourselves collectively as the Southeast Alaska Maritime Industrial Corridor. And so we're seeking designation for our two communities. There's only 100 communities in the United States that will get this declaration, and there'll be enhanced subsidies and federal technical support for these programs, like you get with opportunity zones. So that's before you tonight. City of Ketchikan and Ketchikan Gateway Borough both support it. And I got phone calls recently with both of them that said so. So hopefully it all goes through on their side. On Petersburg, we're looking at different ways to responsibly co-manage our resource in Taiyi. This has kind of come to light as a result of the data center discussions. And so Petersburg's talking about it. We've talked about it. We haven't made any decisions on it, but we will probably have some decisions on it here in the next couple assembly meetings. Regardless, we want to be responsible stewards of our power that we have. And so this is a joint resolution to be able to set some parameters around new big consumers of power and how we invite those into our communities and who's responsible for burning diesels when we go over. So that's a great step to take in advance of a lot of this economic development that's happening here and some of the stuff that we are learning about Petersburg. We got American Cruise Lines. We're waiting on final design for our waterfront fill project. So we get our bond proceeds on April 14th for the waterfront fill project and the public safety building. So we're just waiting on final design from American Cruise Lines before we can finish our final design for the fill out project. But we'd expect somewhere in July, I would imagine that would start up probably after the 4th, something that could carry on into the fall and winter without a whole lot of dependence or disruption. So that's that. I got in the manager's report, federal CDS requests. Those are the requests that were submitted to Senators Murkowski and Representative Begich. That was the Wrangell Harbor Basin dredging project for $4.3 million, the Wrangell Deep Waterport subdivision for $15.5 million, and the Wrangell Diesel Power Plant roof replacement for $1.1 million. The state of Alaska has historically been broke and not had a capital budget to really look at, but now that with the war in Iran and the price per barrel, we've come into some increased revenue projections of the state, about $1 billion over the next two, half a fiscal year and the next fiscal period is what their projections are. So there is potential that we actually have a capital budget at the state level. Inner Harbor replacement is in there for $5 million. That's actually for the State Harbor Matching Program. That's a prioritized list. And I think what you'll see is if there is money thrown in a capital budget, it'll be at the actual lists that are not direct appropriations to the communities, but their conventional processes for evaluating projects. So it'll be like the State Harbor Matching Program. It'll be the deed major maintenance, potentially the moratorium on school bond debt, the renewable energy fund, things that don't specifically call into question an application from a community directly. Then we have the Wrangell Harbor Basin Dredging Project again for $4.3 million. We have the McKinnon Street Rehab. This is the surfacing and some of the storm drain improvements for $1 million. Recall that we already got $900,000 in state subsidies for the water and sewer to be completed as a part of that project. So this would be the other half of it to a fully funded project at the state level. At the public safety building elevator for $550,000, $3 million for the wastewater treatment plant. We got $731,000 for a new boat ramp replacement at Shoemaker. We have $250,000 for downtown waterfront planning. And we have $2 million that has been submitted on behalf of Wrangell by SEPA for a new transformer at our Wrangell substation. So those are the state CAPSIS requests. And then we have the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. We have met recently to talk about different financing alternatives. I'll save the rest of that for 13F, which is the item we just added on the agenda. Submitted a testimony to the Alaska Board of Fisheries on Proposal 170. Actually, I haven't seen the results. I imagine Bob could probably give an update.
I'll do it.
Okay. So we submitted that to in opposition of the reduction in hatchery egg take across the state for pink and chum salmon. I don't think it went through, but we did want to support the industry here locally and what that means for our commercial fishermen, visiting industry, and also our subsistence harvesters. So that testimony is in the agenda for your review in case you're interested. There's a nice capital projects report. I won't go over that, but it's embedded in this packet. Mm-hmm. So I encourage you to get a good update. We're working on the FY27 budget. I think we'd expect more of the same. Nothing too crazy in variance on revenue projections, nothing too different on our expenses. Obviously, there's going to be a little bit of an inflation with the higher oil prices that'll translate to our shipping costs and into service related expenses. But we'll work on that. I know Katie, finance director, is working on compiling the budget. The directors just submitted their departmental budgets, and we'll have more to share in April when we talk about rates. And then we're working through the FY25 audit. That'll be probably completed in May by our expectations, a little bit more delayed than previous years, but kind of expected with the transition in the finance director role. Want to commend Sarah Scambler at the library for getting her third grant on the year. I think she's up to $130,000 or $150,000 in grants, which is not normal for the Irene Engel Library. She got two more. One was for $20,000 from the Alaska Community Foundation. Another one was $10,000 from the American Library Association, one of which is for enhanced programming, and the other one's for replacing the automatic doors for ADA access. So appreciate Sarah's success in getting the grants. It's been pretty remarkable to see. From a sales tax reform perspective, I appreciate the comments here tonight. We don't have an ordinance proposed here tonight, but we will on April 14th is the plan. To answer a few of the questions, I don't think the assembly's intent to charge sales taxes on church bazaars, and we don't think we would ever consider that. Business license will be issued to all businesses that are currently doing business at no cost. And then any new businesses that came in after July 1st would then have to pay for a business license. It's part of the processing at the finance department, so part of the administrative costs. And then thereafter, they would seek a two-year renewal. So if you have a business before July 1st, there's no cost to having a business license. The community market's up to the assembly, but my direction from the assembly per the Kim Shaco letter discussion was to make sure there's an equitable playing field. So it depends. You know, I think there's some people in review of sales tax remittances that make tens of thousands of dollars at the community markets, and there's and down here at the port. And then there's others that make 50 bucks a day kind of thing doing it. So I think we got some creative solutions. I don't know that I have an exact answer tonight, but we'll talk through the ordinance here. I know the finance committee met on it too. I know there's several members of the assembly that were part of that discussion. So, you know, no upfront cost to a business license if you have one on July 1st. And then on the sales tax part of it, you know, that's sales tax isn't part of a company's profit. So it's not like it's taking anything away from you. You're supposed to charge in addition to that, so you don't have to suffer anything on your bottom line. So I just want to make that distinction. Anyway.
And the important thing for me, sales tax, 20% of what we collect goes to the schools to support our schools.
It does, and it's still not enough, but
no, it doesn't even pay the required local contribution.
Right. So we've bridged the gap with some property tax funding from the general fund, and
yeah,
the pure rural schools has been reinstated.
I'm confused about something.
Thank you.
So that's sales tax, but I encourage you guys to show up to the next meeting on the ordinance itself. Be a lot of good discussion, but ultimately it's up to the assembly. I'm just following what they wanted on kind of establishing an equitable playing field. In a lot of ways, you have vendors that sell the same products that are being sold in other of the stores, and it's just not fair to some of those businesses. And that's not everybody, but that's some people. So how we regulate that will be up for discussion on April 14th. We had a good hostile intruder tabletop with led by the police department, the school system, and state troopers, Forest Service, and search. So that was a really good opportunity to talk through situational analysis on a threat in the school system. So we learned some new things and kind of went through our procedures for it. So I appreciate Wrangell PD and the volunteer fire department for organizing that. We've moved our fireworks show to July 4th, which I think is a welcome change. That's the number one thing I hear every 4th of July is, why doesn't the city do it on the 4th like it should be? And I don't know why that's been a thing. I think traditionally that's kind of been a chamber deal, but we're just going to do it this year, and everybody's been amenable. So hopefully that's something we can continue in years to come. So thank you to the Wrangell Volunteer Fire Department for making that happen. And last but not least, we have a couple different positions that are outstanding, different employment opportunities. We're accepting applications. We have a power generation mechanic. We have a cruise ship facility security officer. And we will be soliciting for a contracted project manager with all this influx of capital projects that we have to accomplish over the next summer and into next year. We'll have about $30 million in capital projects this summer, and we should have closer to 40 next year. That's a huge, huge couple of years to string together. So that's a little bit of the high-level report, but for more details, you can look at the Sentinel and scan the QR code, or you can go to wrangell.com and look at the manager's report.
Thank you very much. Any questions, Assembly? All right. Borough Clerk's report, please.
As Mason stated, the CEPA Town Hall will is in my report. It says it's April 8th, but it'll be May 6th. And that would be corrected. And it's on the website and everything now as May 6th. And then also, we just have one older top lot that is up for sale right now. And that's lot 22, and it is due to close on April the 1st. And so if it does not sell, I'll put it up again for another 30 days. Other than that.
Thank you.
There is a workshop with the Forest Service on April 21st, Bob. Is that right? At the Nolan Center classroom? Okay, you got that one too. We'll wait for assembly business.
Yes. All right. Mayor and Assembly business. Assembly member Delvin.
Thank you, Mayor. Two items Mason mentioned. Maybe the first would be the Orifish proposals again that we're going to severely limit the hatchery programs. And help me out if I don't get this completely right. But there was three of them. One of them was 170 was the duplicate of last year when we went, and that was the by far the most problematic, I think, for Southeast, to limit that by 25% or reduce it by 25. But anyway, the results were that all of those proposals were voted down or slightly modified. Yeah, they were all voted down as was. So there was one in there that is more process oriented and how you establish there. Apparently there are moratoriums on the total number of actually production across the state. And it's how do you get to that those numbers? And they're way beyond apparently what's currently capacity. So there was one of those proposals was to set that by them through the action of the board. And that got voted down. And there's basically an idea to do that through the normal planning process for that. So it's, we don't see those again. But it was, what I heard was that there was overwhelming support, or I should say opposition to those. And that's where that was. So, and I think again that Leonard and all is equal to that. Adds to that. That helps it frame into the holistic values of those. Then the other one, the forest plan process is evolving fairly quickly now. And they're starting to roll out documents and things in a draft form. But they have the notice of intent came out, which is a very bureaucratic document that's on the web. I don't know if people will get too much value out of that, but except that we've already passed the comment period for that, and the borough did put a comment in within time on that. So it's not a lot of detail yet, but a lot of more details coming. And part of that is this April 21st public meeting in the Nolan Center at 5:30, I think it is. Mm-hmm. So I would really encourage people to go to that. And that will, again, be a huge milestone in how they go. After that, I think you're going to see documents periodically as you get through it. That's the time to get your input and help define those documents.
Thank you. Any other assembly business? All right. Mayor and assembly appointments, there are none. We'll go to item 11A. It's on page 88, assembly. It's a public hearing item. Ordinance number 1098 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, adding section, I won't read it from here. No, that's okay. Adding section 5.04.065, titled Permanent Vehicle Registration in the Wrangell Municipal Code. I'll ask for an administrative report.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. So this is actually something I stole from Representative Bynum. I'm pushing forward. They did this down in Ketchikan. Any non-commercial rig that's 8 years or more in age can seek for permanent registration. There's a one-time fee to be paid, and I'll just keep it simple and sweet. I know that the police chief gave a more robust explanation the last time, but I think this would be a welcome change, and you should only have to get registration one time, and most vehicles in Wrangell are 8 years or older anyway, so I think most people will be eligible.
And importantly, trailers.
Correct? Non-commercial trailers, yeah.
Right, non-commercial trailers. All right, I'll open up the public hearing. Is there anyone in the public who'd like to speak to this matter?
I support it.
It's so noted.
We have them in Natsuboro, and it's wonderful.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to close the public hearing, and I need a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 1098.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, tentative second by Dalrymple. Any discussion? This is a good thing, and it for this to occur in Wrangell, we need the code to allow it. So that's what this is doing. All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members, sorry. Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13A, page 92, under new business, ordinance number 1099 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, repealing chapter 6.08, peddlers and itinerant merchants in the Wrangell Municipal Code.
Move to approve first reading of ordinance number 1099 and move to a second reading hearing to be held 14, 2026.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Powell, second by Powers.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yeah, this one's a kind of a cleanup exercise as we look to reform our sales tax code in the coming meetings, but the peddlers and itinerant merchants chapters from 1966, and it's really not irrelevant. I mean, it's talking about selling things from door to door and on horses and buggies and all those types of things. So I think that largely we don't regulate that within the borough, and it's something that we wouldn't be able to regulate anyway. And it's just not applicable for what the sales that are happening across the borough. And sometimes people try to fit the bill for an itinerant merchant when in reality, it's just a general sales that are in conformance with our sales tax code. So going ahead and proposing to scrap this out of the municipal code.
It's extremely dated. Any discussion, Assembly? Assembly Member Mock.
Yeah, I just want to bring to the attention that, you know, this does include a section 08 that applies, you know, what is excluded from the sales tax. And one thing that's important to what I do is the sale of fish and other marine products. So for a lot of fishermen, this includes bait. And I think that adding additional tax to bait for our fishermen is something to truly consider.
It's exempt in our sales tax code.
It is as well.
Yeah.
Okay. It just removes it from here as well. So,
yeah. Yep. It's under exemptions.
Anything else? Okay. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item B, page 99, resolution number 03-26-2029 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2026 budget in the Residential Construction Fund by accepting the revenue from the sale of the Aldertop Subdivision lots 13, 14, 15, and 18, block one of the Aldertop Subdivision, in the amount of $242,100.
Move to approve resolution number 03-26-2029.
Okay, motion by Mock, second by Powers.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Again, kind of a housekeeping item. We've done this a couple times now, but this is acceptance of revenues from four different lots generated from the land sales out at Aldertop. As Clerk Lane had said, it's been a great success out there. We only have one lot remaining up for sale. The other 19 have sold. So this is recognizing $242,000 in proceeds and putting it back in the Residential Construction Fund for further expansion and development in the future.
And we do have land for sale. We have a mapping system on our website if anyone is interested. I was just on it a couple of hours ago. Lots of land for sale. Any comment, discussion, Assembly? Okay, poll vote, please.
Assembly members to board?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item C, page 102, resolution number 03-26-2030 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2026 budget by transferring $1 million from the Secure Rural Schools Fund reserves to the Swimming Pool Roof Replacement CIP Fund and authorizing its expenditures.
Move to approve resolution number 03-26-2030.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Mock.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. So a lot of construction going on in the borough this summer. We have the public safety building getting new roofs and siding. The public safety building roof will be a new pitched roof, metal siding. So excited to get that done along with that project. So that's $6 million. The school system will get a comprehensive renovation, all three buildings, roofs, siding. That's a $12 million project, primarily grant funded through the deep major maintenance grant at the state. So we did issue $3.5 million worth of debt back in 2023 to serve as a match for that project. We also have some CDBG funds that are being used for the middle school roof replacement as part of that. But all told, about a $12 million project at the schools. We want to add, given we're going to have contractors mobilize in town, the pool roof, the slope metal blue roof that you see from the water in town, but also the flat roofs in Parks and Rec there. You can, if you walk into Parks and Rec as of recent days,
yeah,
and of course not today because it's not raining for the first time in about 4 weeks, there's snowing, but it's raining pretty good inside the facility this last winter just because those roofs haven't been done. They're past their useful life. They're over 40 years old, so it's time to replace those. And this is the best chance for us doing it from an economies of scale perspective and save some money. So overall, Secure Rural Schools is being recommended as the budget source. We probably won't spend much of the money at all that you guys are approving tonight, but this is just to preliminarily kind of allocate the funding to that project. And then the expectation for FY27 would be that we would reappropriate anything that hadn't been spent. We'll have about $500,000 left in Secure Rural Schools fund reserves after all the other projects and the school contribution for 27. So that would be the ending fund balance in 2027 before we get our next SRS payment. So not too far off what we've been dealing with in Secure Rural School reserves for the last couple of years. But I do think the timing is perfect to take advantage of contractors in town.
Okay. And the community development block grant, the money that we got for the middle school roof, mm-hmm. was that in excess of 700,000?
Yeah.
Is my memory pretty
good? 796.
Okay. Close to 800,000.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, the reason we didn't go for the roof of the pool is we had a better chance with the granting agency giving us the money for a school roof.
Correct.
Okay. So, and then, so that's about 800,000, and we're reserving 100,000 from SRS for the pool roof.
Correct.
So the public understands that.
Hopefully. And there was a match for the CDBG grants, 25% of the 800,000 roughly. The nice thing is our bond proceeds can cover that as a match. So we did get enough interest off our bond proceeds that additional margin can serve as our match for that. So it's a little bit of a game to try to satisfy that requirement, but I'm glad that we gained another 500,000 in interest on those bonds in the mm-hmm. meantime. So a good investment move, but overall, a $12 million project that I think is going to be really welcome. So new siding across the board, roofs and painting.
Very much needed.
New boiler, new HVAC system.
Right. Yeah. Any comments, questions? Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Comment on the question, but I think this is a great strategy to take advantage of this. Because if we ever did this as a standalone, as in the previous efforts, it just never makes it. And it's hard to do. Plus you have the contractor here and the skills and the timing to get it. My question, I guess, it's just what is the status of the SRS funding? Did we get the backlog?
Yeah, we did get that reauthorized. You might have missed the meeting where we talked about that, but it got reauthorized for the next that 3 year period, but we're already 1 year into the renewal, so it's for two more years.
It's in our accounts.
Yeah, we actually haven't got this payment yet. They said they were going to get us to in like 60 days, but typically we get it around April and May. So it's $850,000 for Title I funding. The Title II that we don't know where it really goes right now, somewhere in the Treasury, that's about $150,000. So it was $1.9 million overall, $1.9 million, and we expect about the same for this year. So we have two payments that are happening this year, and we'd expect $1.6 to $1.7 million.
Yeah, because we didn't get one last year.
Correct. And that's why we're dependent on property tax revenues to fund the schools last year.
Yeah, that's why we've got to maximize our sales tax. Yeah. 20% of that.
Yeah.
To help the schools.
I think too, like we saved on the design side too, because LCG Landtech was designing the school project, we threw this in as an added measure, and that was only $23,000 to get the design done for the roof. So might not have been the case if it was a standalone project.
Exactly. Two. Assembly Member Dalrymple's remarks. Okay, any other comments or questions? All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly Members Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yeah.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item D, page 105, resolution number 03-26-2031, a joint resolution of the City and Borough of Wrangell, the City of Ketchikan, and the Ketchikan Gateway Borough, supporting the creation of a maritime prosperity zone and nominating the Southeast Alaska Maritime Industrial Corridor for federal designation.
Move to approve a joint resolution number RES 03-26-2031.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by DeBoer. Administrative report, this is what you were talking about in your report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll keep it fairly brief, but it's always exciting to do a joint resolution with another community because we don't ever do them. I think the last joint resolutions we did were from divestiture of the four dam pool. 2017. Okay, well, it's still been a long time. And we're doing the one with Petersburg, but this one is oriented at the maritime prosperity zones, as I said, is a portion of the maritime action plan that's come out from Secretary of State, Secretary of Commerce to respond to the Trump administration's EO on restoring America's maritime dominance. That's EO 14269. So these haven't been really well developed yet by the administration, but we want to be the first and kind of should be an example in Southeast Alaska that EO does call out. Alaska maritime prosperity zones are to focus on Alaska specifically. There's only 100 communities, so we'd like to be the first along with Ketchikan. I think we have a lot to be able to advocate for jointly with mm-hmm. JAG already being in Ketchikan and us looking to have JAG here. And we would have the biggest shipyard in the state of Alaska if we're able to pull all this off. So, home ports and all the additional accommodations and infrastructure and the funding that comes along with that from the federal agencies will come more easily our way if we're a part of this maritime prosperity zone designation. So just like opportunity zones, which hopefully we also, I think there's some public testimony this next month on that to get that designation again for the next 10 years for Wrangell. So we'll be working to do that, but this should really benefit our projects with Jack Marine and Pearlson.
Good effort on your part to get the other communities, the borough and the city of Ketchikan to buy in on this.
I think most importantly out of this, what this shows is it debunks any myths that we're going to compete with Ketchikan.
Right.
We want them to support our project. We want to support their project because it's not that we're going to cannibalize Ketchikan yards in any way. It's really a matter of a capacity issue in Alaska. We don't have enough service capacity for maintenance of the existing fleet that's here in Alaska. And as our national security fleet continues to grow at the Coast Guard and the U.S. Navy, there's opportunities for Alaska to create jobs and do that work here. So most of that work, 60% of it goes to Washington, California, and now they can't even get into yards. So it's a really great opportunity.
All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly Member Smock?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Ford?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item E, page 154. Approval of a timber sale agreement with Mike Allen Enterprises.
Move to approve the timber sales agreement with Mike Allen Enterprises.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by DeBoer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this is actually a timber sale contract that was stole from the Trust Land Office. So this is their template. I look back on the borough's old timber sale contracts, and they're about one page and kind of hokey, a little, maybe for lack of a better word. So. We're getting into the right practice again. This is for the blowdown site down at 4.5 miles of Movia Highway. So this is just adjacent. It's actually kind of where Aldertop Phase 3 would be. I believe there's an exhibit in your packet that shows the 6.24 acres. That's already been flagged out and surveyed. So it's ready to go. And so we'd like to proceed. I know that Mike Allen has the capacity to do that before the summer season and would like to as he's waiting for some of the weather to clear. So. Not a huge money maker for us, but might as well get it while it's there. It's 40 to 50 grand probably in total proceeds, and we will work towards a much bigger sale here this summer as we'll seek requests for proposals probably in May and June for the Earl West and Tom's Place area, which could be as much as 20 to 30 million board feet.
Any comments or questions? Assembly Member Dalrymple.
I'm very happy to see that the borough moving forward with this. It, you know, to my knowledge, I don't know when we did one ever before, maybe in the past, but and especially when there's little opportunities for salvage, like was stated here, to recover the value.
Right.
At some point that will have no value. It's just waste. So it also make it look better. Cleaned it up quite a bit.
Right.
So
and stumpage fees estimated between what, 40,000 and 50,000?
Yeah, correct.
For the borough.
And that exhibit's on page 182 of the packet in case you didn't see it the first time around.
Correct. All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Ward?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. And item F is a non-disclosure agreement between the City and Borough of Wrangell and ADA, the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. I would entertain a motion to move to approve a non-disclosure agreement between ADA and the City and Borough of Wrangell.
Move to approve a non-disclosure agreement between ADA and the City and Borough of Wrangell.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Dalrymple.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this is a non-disclosure agreement between the borough and ADA, and that really is their conventional process to explore financial alternatives when funding a project like the JAG shipyard that we're working on right now. So we did submit a $50 million grant application we're feeling really good about with EDA, approximately $40 million of that's reserved for the mill property. We have talked to ADA preliminarily about covering off on our match for that, which is about $11 million for the whole thing. So that's potential that they would cover that for us in return for a stake of equity in the shipyard, not the EDA assets, but the actual shipyard itself. And then I think that, you know, this next few months will be about talking to their leadership and potentially their board on greater funding opportunities, whether that's low interest loans or if that's contributing equity. Basically providing a bunch of cash for the shipyard build and then expecting a dividend payment similar to what they have in Ketchikan. They may be a little hesitant to that because they already do own a shipyard, but given the capacity restraints and the amount of jobs and employment opportunities that hits home on their mission, it could be a really great opportunity. So on the state side, you know, if we could get up close to $100 million for the project and then we get into the federal money with the U.S. Coast Guard and NOAA, which I believe they'll, once they see the design project, that it's a no-brainer. I think JAG feels that way too. We'll be on our way to that $250-300 million that we probably expect.
And ADA endorsed our application for the grant, the EDA grant.
They did. They're still drafting their support letter, but okay. We just sent a template yesterday and we're able to send that in before Friday this week.
Okay, good. Any comments or questions, Assembly? Okay, poll vote on the non-disclosure agreement with ADA.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
The board?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Assembly, thank you. Attorney's file is in with the borough clerk, and we adjourn at 6:58.
Eight.
Eight.
And to you both.